Morning, everybody. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. I always have enjoyed this account of the mighty men of David. I always I like how these guys were willing to fight through and get him some of that water, and I like when they brought it to him how he said, "Man, I can't drink this." This is good leadership all the way around among those guys. And when the church works well together is when we have those kind of attitudes all the way around, all of us. And aren't we the mighty men and women in God's army? So let's imitate those examples. Appreciate the stewardship this morning, man. I like that health, wealth, and happiness idea. It is in there, isn't it? It's just not the way it's sold. But man, happy is a man who gives instead of receiving. And we truly are happy when we take the resources that God's given to us. We've worked hard in that labor and we've enjoyed working for the Lord, and then we get to share those with others. That's great. And then I really appreciate the Lord's Supper meditation too. This is about Christ. And you know, I have to ask myself this, and sometimes in a friendly way ask you this, when we're maybe getting attitudes about the way somebody else is, or conducting themselves, or not conducting themselves. How's Jesus treated you lately? Jesus done anything wrong? I remember at the gym a few years ago, there was a football player in there, and they were the Outlaws at the time, the Billings Outlaws, and had a discussion, and he was asking Matthew was still a little guy, he's like, who's your favorite football player? And he's like, you got to have somebody that's your role model, that you are going to go after and be like. And then I had started a spiritual conversation with this guy, and he says, yeah, I don't, basically not interested in being a Christian. My dad claimed to be a Christian, and he did all sorts of wrong stuff. And so I was able to use that thing he had just said and come back. I was like, you have to find some, if you're a Christian, it means you follow Christ. That's who you're looking to. And so really appreciate that, Larry. And the Lord's Supper is about that remembrance of Christ. He is who we're looking to, isn't he? And I don't know if Larry knew what he was talking about or not when he said, I'm going to hit it out of the park today. I guess I'll do my best. I wasn't necessarily my goal this morning, but hey, he set it up. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. We're going to key in on verses 7 through 10, but it's been a while since I've preached here in 2 Corinthians, so we're going to start in verse 1. 2 Corinthians 12, verse 1. Boasting is necessary, though it's not profitable, but I will go on to visions and revelations of the Lord. I know a man in Christ who 14 years ago, whether in the body I do not know, or out of the body I do not know, God knows. Such a man was caught up to the third heaven. And I know how such a man, whether in the body or apart from the body, I do not know, God knows, was caught up into paradise and heard inexpressible words which a man is not permitted to speak. On behalf of such a man will I boast, but on my own behalf I will not boast except in regard to my weaknesses. For if I do wish to boast, I shall not be foolish, for I shall be speaking the truth. But I refrain from this so that no one may credit me with more than he sees in me or hears from me. And because of the surpassing greatness of the revelations, for this reason, to keep me from exalting myself, there was given me a thorn in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to buffet me, to keep me from exalting myself. Concerning this, I entreated the Lord three times that it might depart from me. And he has said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for power is perfected in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, I will rather boast about my weaknesses, that the power of Christ may dwell in me. Therefore, I am well content with weaknesses, with insults, with distresses, with persecutions, with difficulties, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Let's pray. Lord, you are an awesome God, the great I am. You are omnipotent. Father, you do have all power. There is nothing that is too big, that is too difficult for you. And there's nothing too small for you that it's something that you don't care about. Lord, I'm appreciative for your word, for the examples that you give therein to remind us that we aren't doing this by our might or by our power, but by your Spirit. To remind us that we can't rely upon simply the flesh. We need to rely upon you and your Spirit. Your resources, Lord, are immeasurable. You have everything that we need to overcome. I ask that you be with me today as I preach your word, that I would communicate it clearly, and that all of us would really cast ourselves upon the rock of Jesus Christ, and that you would exalt us at the proper time. It is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So, we talked about last time I was in 2 Corinthians 12 that paradise is for real. And it's not because some kid saw a vision. It's because Jesus said so. He'd been there and back. And the Apostle Paul, the inspired Apostle Paul, was caught up into paradise. He was caught up into the third heaven. And he said that he heard inexpressible words which no one is permitted to speak. Guys, if the inspired Apostle Paul wasn't allowed to speak on this, nobody else is either. So I wouldn't believe the stories of others. I would stick with the inspired Word of God. But consider this for a second. What Paul got to see in paradise had to have been simply amazing. Do you ever stop and consider what heaven is going to be like? It blows my mind just thinking about it. What Paul got to see was amazing. He says these revelations had surpassing greatness. Little follow-up question for you. You ever notice how easy it is for pride to creep into our lives? Maybe I was born in a... I wasn't, but just by way of an example. Maybe I was born into a wealthy family. And I learned how to work hard, because typically, guys, wealthy families do know how to work hard. In this country, it's still, you can work and you can make money and you still can keep some of it. But, you know, learning how to work hard and learning how to manage money wisely. That's a skill, isn't it? That's something that's got to be taught. But it's easy sometimes for a person who's been raised that way and then goes on to be successful to say, look at what I've done. Look at what I have. It's true, there's something that you've done, but there's a lot of inherent blessings. There's a lot of inherent advantages that you have. But pride wants to puff it up and make it about me. Maybe all of us, maybe we've been blessed with something and we want to take particular credit for it. Well, Paul, think about Paul here. He got to see some things that nobody else alive got to see. We were talking in class and after class. Knowledge does bring confidence, but knowledge can also bring. We were talking in class. Knowledge can bring confidence, but knowledge, the Scripture also says, can bring arrogance. Can it? Knowledge puffs up, but love edifies, is the way 1 Corinthians says. So, can you imagine though? Like, I know when we have this, and we know this, and we get to share it, I have confidence going in with people and knowing what I know. And so we have to be careful that we're not even arrogant with what we know, don't we? And it's one thing to be confident with what we know. It's another thing to be arrogant and be proud and be ready to fight to be right instead of fighting to win somebody's soul. Now, just consider for a second. You have this. You have something else in your back pocket that's legit, that's real, that's true, that nobody else has seen or has access to. Could that possibly lead to a little bit of arrogance? I got something that nobody else knows about. And it was true. The Apostle Paul did. He'd seen some things nobody else had seen. And so it would be easy to develop an attitude of superiority. To keep that from happening, Paul was given what he calls here a thorn in the flesh. Now, I don't know what that is. The Scriptures don't particularly define it. I have an opinion, and I'll get to that in a second. Some people think it was temptations. I personally don't think, in the context that Paul's talking about, it's his temptations. Although the principles, I still want to come back and apply to temptation, because it's true. the principles for victory are laid forth in this passage. Others think it was a physical malady. That's where I'm leaning towards, and I'll share with you in a little bit why. Others think maybe it was the accusations of the false apostles. Something I just thought about when you were talking this morning, Uncle Dave, is Paul didn't have much in the way of financial resources, did he? He was totally dependent on the Lord for, and he said, I have had to learn to be content. When I have a lot, people gave, and when I don't have, hardly any. Hey, that'd be a tough way to live. Okay? But my opinion is, I think it's a physical problem with his eyes. Remember this whole revelation thing where he got to see of paradise? Seems to have started with he got stoned at Lystra. He was left for dead because of that stone. Now you think you take boulders and smash your head in and leave you for dead is probably going to have some lasting effects. And it seems to me scripturally pretty obvious that Paul had some lasting effects, some problems with his eyes. Let's go to Galatians chapter 4. Galatians chapter 4, beginning in verse 12. Paul says, I beg of you, brethren, become as I am, for I also have become as you are. You have done me no wrong. Galatians 4:13. But you know that it was because of a bodily illness that I preached the gospel to you the first time. And that which was a trial to you in my bodily condition, you did not despise or loathe, but you received me as an angel of God, as Christ Jesus himself. Where then is that sense of blessing that you had? For I bear you witness that if possible, you would have plucked out your eyes and given them to me. The timing seems right on this, and Paul was there, and we know that he, whatever the problems, the physical problems, he calls it a bodily illness, it was impacting his eyes. And he said, you guys would have gladly given me your eyes to be able to see. And then Galatians 6:11, he says, see with what large letters I am writing to you with my own hand. Most of Paul's letters somebody else wrote. I know some people, they get older and they have a hard time writing. You know, your signature changes. Sometimes you have to go down to the bank and get some stuff, change your signature because they struggle to write. I don't know how all this impacted Paul, but apparently it was difficult. He had to write with these large letters. My guess is something's going on with his eyes. Whatever it was, we know for a fact that Satan's intent with it was evil. A messenger from Satan. And Scripture says that the thorn in that flesh is also called a messenger of Satan. But what Satan intended for evil, God was using it for good. And I want you to consider that. Satan uses bad things with the goal of getting us to fail. Satan will bring along persecutions with the hope of taking you out. He'll bring along afflictions with the hope of taking you out. He'll bring along temptations with the hope of taking you out. Now you go back and read the parable of the sower. Okay? That seed that was sown on the rocky soil. I'm going to draw a little warning here. You new Christians, you guys bear down. There's one type of soil that's good and only one. You watch it. That rocky soil, there's some things the devil's going to hurl at you. He's going to throw your way to try to take you out before you ever get a really good, firm, deep root. Now for all you medium-aged to older Christians, hey, Scripture warns about the thorns too that can come up and choke out. So all of us need to be on guard. Be aware. But Satan wants to take those bad things and cause us to fail. God can take those same bad things and He uses them to get us to trust in Him and to learn how to overcome. Go with me to James chapter 1. It really is our response. And I don't know how to explain this very well, but many times it's the same circumstances, the same. Let's just talk about Job for a second. Satan wanted bad things to come upon Job to expose Job for who Satan thought he was, didn't he? This guy, there's only one reason he trusts in you, because you've built this hedge around him. Why wouldn't he? Why wouldn't he love you? You've done all this good stuff for him. God says, okay, you want to have Adam? Go ahead and have Adam. What was God's intention in allowing that to happen? It was going to be to prove who Job was. To prove Job's righteousness. To prove Job's trust in God. And so, in our own personal lives, guys, Satan will use bad things, and his goal is to make us fail. See, you never were good enough for this. You never were worthy. You can't make it. You were always a quitter. All that's the devil's goal. That's where he's going. And some of us, he plays on our minds, and he starts working a little bit. That's God. God allows these things for us to be proven to be faithful, for us to develop some proven character. And in James chapter 1, I just like the way he says this in verse 2, it says, "Consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance, and let endurance have its perfect result, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing." Guys, faith that isn't tested isn't faith at all. You don't know you have faith until your faith's been tested. So have a good attitude with whatever's happening in your life, whatever difficult things. You remember David when he was going to take on Goliath? And Saul says, "Here, go ahead, wear my armor." It's kind of, people have been talking about armor today. Check out his shirt. The opening was great on that. King Saul tells David, put on his armor. David puts on, he's like, I can't use this stuff. Why not? Wasn't tested. You can't go into battle without it being tested. So for us, when Satan's throwing bad stuff at you to get you to fail, understand God is using those same things in your life to help you overcome, to really learn how to overcome. So that that faith that's tested brings about endurance, and endurance have its perfect result, and we're perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. And our inner man is ready to receive that body of glory. So have a good attitude. Take it on. All right. Thanks, Lord, for this opportunity. I know I'm saying that easy. This is not easy. It's a thorn in the flesh. It was not easy. The Apostle Paul asked God 3 times, please, please take this away. I don't want you to mistake what I'm saying here and say, oh, I'm trivializing whatever you're going through. Although I'm just going to say for me, I don't think I've got the same shots the Apostle Paul got. I don't have something extra in my back pocket. So, Paul, God used this in Paul's life to get him to rely even more upon the Lord. One other big picture thing. I like to ask, what's the worst thing the devil ever did? I think the worst thing the devil ever did was have the Son of God be crucified. What do you think? And yet, what the devil intended for the worst evil, God caused for the greatest good. That always brings a little, put something back in my step. Hey, God's got this. He got a plan. No matter how bad it is that Satan's throwing your way, God's going to can cause this and will cause this for great good. So get your head up. Look up. Don't look down. Look up. We see the same principle at work here. So 3 times Paul entreated the Lord. He asked the Lord's help that this thorn in the flesh might depart from him. What did God say? Oh yeah, sure. Here, let me just take that out of your way. That wasn't God's response, was it? I know. I've heard it. I don't know if I've thought it. Probably have. Not really, I don't remember thinking it, but I know I've heard it. Some people are discouraged. God's not hearing my prayers. God isn't listening to me. God isn't doing what I ask. God, I must not be one of His chosen ones. I must not be in good standing with Him. I must not... Well, what are you asking for? Sometimes you ask for things and it's not what's best. I have kids of various ages. Sometimes the younger ones want to get to do things the older ones get to do. Sorry, you don't get to do that. Okay. Dad's a bad guy. you're not ready for that. It's not best for you. Do you think our dad knows better than we do what's best for us in the moment? He isn't going to just have this taken away. So don't get bent out of shape at God, and don't lose confidence in yourself and your standing with God when the answer from God, He doesn't just answer your prayers right away. Okay? Or answer with a yes. Again, I've mentioned this recently, but I think about Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane. Was there anybody ever more loved than Jesus? More loved by the Father? No question about their relationship. And no question that He's in... We know that the Lord hears the prayers of the righteous, doesn't He? But His face is against those who do evil. Jesus was righteous. Jesus says, hey, you haven't left me alone. I always do the things that are pleasing in your sight. He said, God, I know, Father, I know you hear me always. And He's in the Garden of Gethsemane and He's saying, please take this cup from me. Yet not what I will, but your will be done. Did God remove that cup? So, don't get a wrong attitude when God doesn't remove your cup either. God doesn't going to just take away our weaknesses. What does that prove? If Christianity, if we came in, tough stuff is tough, and we just asked God, just take that away, and He took it away and made it easy, what would that... All sorts of people would become Christians. Because it was easy. All sorts of people become Christians because of the supposed wrong health, wealth, happiness sales. That's not the way God operates. Hey, some of us, we might have a particular sin problem we're trying to get to, and we're, God, just take it away. And He isn't answering that way. Hey, maybe we got trying family circumstances. Man, I got married to be happy. And I'm in this for how long? God, just take it away. That's not the way God operates. I'm serious. These are things that we can have in our lives. Maybe a certain physical ailment. Anything I've had in my health, guys, there's been a finish line so far in my life. Some of you there's no finish line. You know it's a chronic thing and you're going to have it until the Lord calls you home, and maybe He's going to call you home through that sickness. I just think some of those, how mentally difficult that has to be. Maybe a financial hardship or difficult job situation. Dave was saying, how many of us, how many of you like your job? I know a few of you don't like your jobs. That can be a tough thing. But God isn't going to necessarily just take any of those things away, is He? How do you respond to Paul? He said, my grace is sufficient for you. I have what you need. He said, power. Power is perfected in weakness. If you think about what God's saying here, He's saying, what you need to overcome, I've already given to you. Grace is its favor. It's God's resources. Hey, my grace, my resources, what I have given is sufficient for you to overcome. Some of those things, we know. We have a huge... I feel for people in the world. We become Christians and we get a clean conscience. All of a sudden, hey, I can win. It's possible. All that stuff that I've done, those mistakes that I've made, they're gone. That's a huge one. He's given us His Spirit, power, source, His Word. His Word to teach us how to think right. He's given us the church, help, examples. People are willing to pick us up when we fall down, etc. See, with the Lord's help, we can renew our mind. With the Lord's help, we can overcome any and all sin. The Scripture encourages us over and over again to put aside all sin. The sin that so easily besets us. It's possible with His help. We learn to trust in Him. With the Lord's help, we can learn to trust Him and live righteously around non-believing family members. That can be a tough thing. We can keep trusting God to help us through that physical and emotional pain of our acute or chronic illnesses. I bet the last couple of years haven't been particularly easy for our brother up here. But I bet you've learned to trust God. I bet your trust in God has grown. And we've seen that grow. God puts... Some things are more evident and obvious. But I know God cares about each one of us individually, and He puts each one of us in situations. Maybe nobody else can see yours. Maybe nobody else can see mine, but God does. He knows. And He's putting us through these things to develop our trust in Him. Maybe that current financial mess that you're in, the Lord can help you. And learn to discipline yourself. You know, the Lord does some of these things to get help. Learn to discipline yourself and live within a budget. Maybe that job. Hey, with the Lord's help, can we maintain a good attitude at a bad job? Remembering we have a Master who is in heaven? Sure we can. If God just took away all these difficult circumstances, who could see the power of God really at work in your life? Isn't one of the things that sets us apart as Christians is our attitude in difficult circumstances compared to that of the world? Isn't one of the things that sets us apart as Christians is the fact that we do overcome sin when the world just lets it pull them down, sink them? If God just took these things away, there'd be no power for the world to see it work in us. God's power really is perfected in our weakness. Paul said, "When I'm weak, then I am strong." He was well content. He had a good attitude no matter what the difficulty. Almost all of us know Philippians 4:13. He's talking about some of those financial situations. He says, "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." So we too should have a good attitude, guys, in our difficulties. We are God's witnesses to the world, aren't we? Aren't we God's sons and daughters? What does Isaiah say about God in reference to Jesus? He said, "The Lord was pleased to crush Him, putting Him to grief." As a parent, hopefully I'm tougher on my kids than I am on any other kids. I know my dad certainly was on us, and there were times my dad was pleased to sacrifice us for the sake of others. And our Heavenly Father is pleased to sacrifice us for the sake of others. Go with me to Romans chapter 8. I love the ending of this, but sometimes I'm so excited to get to the ending. And we're going to get to the ending. But sometimes I'm so excited to get to the ending that we forget this little line that's brought forth here. Romans chapter 8, verse 35. "Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword?" Hey guys, all of these things that he just mentioned here will come upon us as Christians. Or any number of them can come upon us as Christians. Tribulation, distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, peril, or sword. Verse 36, "Just as it is written, for your sake we are being put to death all day long. We were considered as sheep to be slaughtered." Hey, that sounds like, wasn't Jesus considered as a sheep to be slaughtered? That's us now, isn't it? Verse 37, "But in all these things we overwhelmingly conquer through Him who loved us." I don't want to speed this up so fast to get to that. I'm usually so excited about "we overwhelmingly conquer," but let's be honest. There are going to be some difficult things that come, and sometimes it's for our benefit to learn to trust in God. It's always for God's benefit. It's always for the benefit of other people. We are God's witnesses to the world. Through us, the means by which God is bringing about salvation to the nations. And so, don't be surprised when difficult times come. I think they're coming more and more. As the world more and more shakes its fist in rebellion against God, there's some more and more difficult things coming upon us personally. How are we going to respond? Verse 37 But in all these things, we overwhelmingly conquer through Him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. You know those angels and principalities and powers? That would include Satan. What he can throw at you, I'm convinced, Paul says, that none of these things can separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. See, we all have to learn. We all are going to get, as Christians, are going to get to experience some things that we can't conquer ourselves. You know, Steve Doty likes to say, if you're doing the same things now you did before you were a Christian, you're not doing anything new, you're not stretching, you're not putting yourself in any different position than you were before you were a Christian, what do you need the Holy Spirit for? If you're not doing anything greater than what you could do by yourself, who needs the Holy Spirit? God's willing to make sure that every one of us gets to encounter some things that on your own you can't do it. I'm thankful for that. My grace is sufficient for you. See, we learn to rely on God's Spirit, His Word, His plan for overcoming. And so we can consider it all joy when we encounter various trials. They do produce within us endurance. And that endurance brings about that perfect result, that we're perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. That's the plan. This is where God's going. So have a good attitude about it and rely on the Lord. Let's stand.